mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And as he was praying, his clothing became white and gleaming, and Peter and his companions saw his glory. Don't you love that word, glory? Doesn't it make you thrill? Especially at this time of year, as the Christmas cycle, the Epiphany season reached their climax, the Transfiguration. Glory has got to be the word for the season. Glory to God in the highest. Angels from the realms of glory. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills the night. Isn't that a great word? Glory. Glory is a warm word. It's a bright word. Glory is a wonderful word, isn't it? Especially these days. So recently we have basked in the same glow that the shepherds felt when the glory of the Lord shone round about them. We've seen Christ begin to reveal his glory by casting out demons, by working miracles of healing. We've gazed at the brilliance of Christ's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Feels good, doesn't it? Don't you just love to bask in that kind of glory? We revel to be among the disciples that Jesus has called to share in his glory. We throw back our heads and catch the rays as the glory of the Lord shines down upon us. The snow outside may pile up, but the glory of the Lord is all the warmth we really need, isn't it? Glory is a wonderful word, isn't it? Shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to answer. For they became terrified. What's going on here? What's wrong with these shepherds, with these disciples? Terrified in the glory of the Lord? I mean, that's everywhere we want to be, isn't it? To bask in the glory of the Lord? Glory is a wonderful word, isn't it? The glory of God is his holiness, his power. Now, is that the kind of glory that we want to glory in? Is that the kind of glory in which we want to bask? Or is it maybe a different kind of glory? Is it a different kind of glory that gives us that glow, that warm feeling when we hear the word? When I was working on my master's in business several years before coming to the seminary, my buddies and I were very open about what we expected from our first jobs. The salary we wanted to make, the secretary. My particular thing was an office with a window. Now, I wasn't fussy. You know, some of my buddies were very specific. They wanted a corner office, two windows, at least five floors up. It wasn't all that unsanctified or anything. It was just part of the territory. This is part of the reason that we were there. We were very open about the kind of glory that we were looking for. Now, you guys haven't come here for a big salary or an office with a view. You've come to serve to the glory of the Lord. Right? Yeah. But are we really such different people than our Christian brothers or sisters or cousins or friends who have decided to pursue an MBA instead of an MDiv? Isn't there something inside each one of us, too, that really hopes that while we're serving to the glory of the Lord, that we might catch a few of those rays for ourselves in the meantime? For us, of course, it takes all kinds of different forms. A shining armor that protects us from the tragedies of the world. A triumphal march into Iowa and all the world conquering for Christ. A bright, pristine congregation eager to follow its new pastor wherever his wisdom might lead. Scores of eager parishioners nodding, smiling at every word, needing us desperately. Statistical yearbook record shattered annually. And a window in the office would be nice too. You know, the truth is, that's very much like the kind of glory that we revel in vicariously when our guys beat their guys 30-13. Look at me, look at us. But that's not the kind of glory that God promises. God's glory is that which always stands in terrifying contrast to the shame of our sin. In God's glory, we see what He is, what we should be, what we must be, what we aren't. No wonder the shepherds, Peter, James, and John, were terrified in the blinding light of the glory of the Lord. They saw as in a mirror themselves. Are we blind? Can't we see what they saw when they saw the glory of the Lord? Do we really want so much to catch some of those rays of glory? In our sin, the last thing we want to do is confront the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord can only wreak terrible destruction on sinful people. When Christ's glory is unveiled, men will say to the mountains, "Cover us, the hills fall on us." Anything to shield us from the glory of the Lord. But glory is a wonderful word, isn't it? It has become that our text, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory. Glory is a wonderful word, because the radiance of God's glory left his glory. Christ is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Christ Jesus, the radiance of God's glory, through whom he also made all things, became a man. Not a very glorious man. There's no halo over his head. There's no glow about his person. There was certainly all the glory of God, the full radiance of God's glory, the very power, the very holiness of the Almighty, the glory that should have destroyed sinful creatures. But here it is. Here he is in a way that we can see it and live. Christ veiled his glory until first he made us fit to see it. Christ is the radiance of God's glory. When he had made purification of sins, then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It's not time for glory yet. After that brief shining moment of the transfiguration, before the final unveiling, the cross, the emptying of all glory. So soon now, we begin that death march to Calvary, the final humiliation, but with the most glorious result. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Now, that's a wonderful word, glory, isn't it? Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.